Praise God. Well, we're getting to the second part of the discussion. We're looking at the we're looking at the fifth part of our study, and we're discussing Emmanuel, God with us, the concept of what it represents, and in relation to fellowship with God and and walking with God. And we began to talk about the different aspects of the soul, and we took a break. I'm going to leave that and go on. We'll come to it. We just dropped it as something for us to think of, pray about. But let's go to the sixth one. We will come back to it, but maybe then to be clearer. We are looking at the sixth principle, which is Christ. The sixth principle is Christ. And if you look at the board, we said Emmanuel is what has given rise to Christ. Amen. The principle of God in man, or God in with us, is what has brought forth Christ. Because Christ is the group of men in whom the fullness of God has been manifested in. I don't know if we get the trend of thought. Christ, Emmanuel, means God with us. That men in whom the fullness of God has come in or dwelling in. And it is those men are called Christ. You understand? So Christ is a manifestation of the thought, the desire in God's mind to dwell in man. Alright? God wants to dwell in man, and that is Emmanuel. The manifestation of that, God dwelling in man, is Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the first man in whom the fullness of God was manifested bodily. You know, so the Bible says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's not going to be only one man, Jesus. There will also be a group of men in whom the fullness of God will be manifested bodily. And that is Christ. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's take some scriptures. Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:20. We'll read through some scriptures to make it clear. That is, can we read, let's read from, go to 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, so that is Christ. So it is Christ is a body, and in this body they are all filled with the fullness of God. So if you say you want to be a part of Christ, what you are saying is that you are consecrating yourself. You are dedicating yourself. When I say yourself, it means your spirit, your soul, and your body. You are dedicating all, so that the fullness of God will be manifested in your three realms. And that is what baptism means. Do you understand? Baptism means a public declaration that I am going to be filled with the fullness of God. I am separating myself from the things of the world. Because the soul, before it gets born again, is an altar of Baal. Are we, is that sitting? Before the soul gets born again, it is an altar of Baal. It is an altar involved in spirit worship, devil worship. The Bible says, eat of the table of devils, and eat of the table of devils. You understand? That's how God sees it. So this table that has been fellowshipping with devils comes to God. The first thing God will do to it is to bring it to judgment and to a consecration, to a covenant. Okay? I will now bring your soul and I will make it my own table of offering. So you are going from being a table that is offering sacrifices to devils to a place where sacrifices are being offered to God. There are certain things that must take place. There are changes that will take place. Okay? And that is what the tabernacle does for you. You begin to walk through different experiences so that you are no longer an altar of Baal, you become an altar of God. And part of it is an initiation called baptism. There's a physical one, and then there's a spiritual initiation where the soul is now brought back to the realm of the spirit, because God is a spirit. So the soul of man must get back into the realm of the heavens, the realm of the spirit. And that is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And that is what the Holy Ghost does. When he comes into your spirit, you are now reintroduced to walking in the spirit, no longer walking in the flesh. Alright, so that is the purpose of that. Okay, so when you think of Christ, the scripture says, let's read a few scriptures about Christ. We've seen the first one, but let's read another one to make it a bit clearer. The other one I have in mind is Galatians 5. Galatians 5:24. Okay. Are we there? Say, and they that are Christ have done what? Have crucified the flesh with their affections and with their lust. So when you think of Christ, there are certain things that you are speaking of immediately. You cannot make an excuse for traditions or custom or culture or tribe or nation or all those things you are saying cannot come in when you think of Christ. Because Christ will break. It's a place where veils are broken. Are we together? So, and we will see it later when we begin to talk about the different aspects of the of this priesthood. Because it says, I will put my spirit in you, and your sins and your iniquity I will remember no more. In other words, he will make an end of sin. So that is a byproduct. It's not even an issue. It's not even the main issue, whether I will overcome or not overcome. You don't discuss it. It must be. It's not even the main issue. Amen. So, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and love. Then why are we not overcoming the flesh? Because we have another spirit. We don't have the spirit of Christ. We have a religious spirit. A religious spirit that makes us feel good because we say we are Christians, we are this and that. But the natural fact, we're not walking in it. Because if we have the spirit of Christ, we will be overcoming the flesh. We will not make any allowance for it. But let's read on. 2 Corinthians 3. This is another scripture. 2 Corinthians 3. 3. From 15. Okay. Okay, say, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, that is the issue. Adam was cast out of the garden, and a veil was put over him. Do you know what is the veil? God said, dust thou art, and to dust you will remain. That is the veil. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. He told him, say, Adam, dust you are, and to dust you remain. That is, God put a covering of the veil over humanity. And so for you to be able to come into the realm of the heavens, you must break through the veil. Do you understand? You must break through the veil. And he said, the veil is your flesh. So it is when you break through the veil, then you come into the realm of the heavens. You can have fellowship with God. You can talk of priesthood. Because priesthood is by birth. You must be born to become a priest. You must become the firstborn to become a priest of God. You understand the principles? Priesthood is by birth. Aaron, if you are not a son of Aaron, you cannot be a priest. That's natural. In the spirit, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Isn't that so? And you must be born of the water and of the spirit to enter. So priesthood is by birth, naturally or spiritually. Okay, so there is a vein of carnality over the nature of natural man. So natural man cannot be a priest of God. So flesh and blood cannot inherit this kingdom. How do you inherit the kingdom? By the Spirit. Okay? So let's read on. He said, nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is jubilee. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? There's jubilee. What does the jubilee say? The land shall not be sold forever. So yes, you are born under sin, born under carnality. The sin is the, no problem. But the Bible says that you can, that condition you are in, that nature of man, there is a door of escape, and it's by the Spirit. Amen. So when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is to break the veil of the flesh over our soul, so that we can break through and begin to function as a priest unto God. Amen. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of jubilee. It's the Spirit of liberty. So we all, with an open face, beholding the glory, as in regards the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So this Spirit of God must make its way to the soul. I remember we said it does that through a gate, and the east gate. It flows the connection of your mind. And the Bible talks about the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. What does the Bible say? It said that the flesh killeth. Is it not so? But the Spirit does what? Giveth life. Amen. The Spirit of God brings life through the word. Amen. The word on its own is not going to give much life. But when the Spirit of God anoints the word of God, the entrance of that word, what does it do? It brings light. Amen. So in the holy place, you have the lampstand, you have the shewbread. The two of them work together. The Spirit and the word, they work together. The Spirit of God illuminates the word of God so that you can partake of the word. And the strength you get from the word, you get it to walk in the light of the Spirit. Amen. And the purpose of that is so that the soul can come to the golden center. What that means, the soul comes to the point where it is ready to be married to Christ. That is, the woman has consecrated herself. She has forgotten all her boyfriends. Do you understand? Yes, your husband is waiting there now. So you are going to, if you are going to marry a husband, you will forget all your boyfriends, all the boys who want to marry you. He says, sorry, there is one man now. He's the one I will marry. All of them have to go away, isn't it so? That's what is happening to the soul. The soul must be consecrated to be joined to Christ. Hallelujah. That's why if you come to the lamp, the golden altar, you see the rings. The two rings there speak of marriage. That the soul is ready to get married and is carried across. That means it is ready to move to that place where it is solely 100% committed to be an altar and a priest of God. Amen. Amen. Are we getting the so you see, it all goes together. But you see, you have to know how to rightly divide the word to bring it, you know, so to see the spiritual application. So we are talking about Christ. Now, Christ means the anointed one, isn't it also? Isn't that what it means? What is he anointed to do? What is Christ anointed to do? He is anointed to break the veil. Hallelujah. So he is anointed to break the veil of the flesh and to bring a people out of the bondage into that glorious experience. So God wants to have a group of men who are exactly like Jesus Christ. Is that possible? Or is it an impossible task? It's possible because it's by one Spirit. Amen. By one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. It's one Spirit. If you submit to the Spirit of God, he begins to bring forth the nature of Christ within. It is the Spirit of adoption. Amen. It is the common thing that binds all of us together is the Spirit. He has given us of his Spirit so that by that Spirit are we all. So the Spirit gives us a standard. It's not different standards. One Spirit. So that Spirit brings forth the nature of Christ. Amen. Okay. Now that you are alert, let's go to John 16. We can push a little bit into that direction. John 16. The Holy Ghost is not given to you so you can speak in tongues. It's one of the products, but it's not the main issue. Amen. That's not why you have received the baptism. Speaking in tongues is just one of those things. It's not the main issue. John 16. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13. How be it when he... When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. That sentence is loaded. But let's move on. We'll probably come there again. He said, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you of things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. But I must confess that I myself have not been benefiting from this ministry. I don't know about you, but for me, I have not been benefiting from this ministry because I have been struggling. Too much struggle personally. Amen. But that's the work of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that he will give you another comforter. That the Greek says Parakletos, a helper. How many of us know the help of the Holy Ghost practically? That you know the help of the, that you know how to receive help from the Holy Ghost. You make it a habit to receive help from the Holy, or you use your head. If I get into trouble, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. My head will just come into effect. I start thinking, I do this. You solve the problem. We are problem solvers. We are the stopping authority. We are stopping the function of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is there, dormant. And we are. Amen. So that's why the problems are recurring, because we have not passed that test. We keep going round and round and round and round because we have not broken through. You know, when the problem comes, oh, let this problem go away, let another one. Oh. Every challenge, okay, they now call it challenge. Every challenge that you have is to give you a miracle, isn't it also? It's to teach you how to walk with God. It's to teach you how to hear the voice of God. It's to teach you the faithfulness of God. It's to give you a testimony. Isn't it also? Say yes, sir. Yes. Amen. I was looking for, we were looking for a house. You know, my wife and I, we were looking for, I said, sister, this is the test, though. We must have a testimony in this house. I will tell you what she was doing. Amen. You know, she's a wonderful sister. Amen. Say yes, sir. Calista. Amen. Amen. I wonder what I was doing too. But today we have a testimony. Amen. We got the house. The house of God was not the one we wanted, but the one God wanted. Amen. Amen. It's the one God wanted. That's not what we wanted, but it's the one God wanted. Amen. Amen. At least I was able to hear that. Amen. So at least I'm trying. Amen. She too has a head. So she too is trying. Amen. But it was a time of stress. Because the travel agent, the housing agent said, if you are moving, you must give me a date. Okay, this was ending November. I was traveling to the US. We went to meet the man and said, if you want to move out of this house by end of September, you must tell me. If you tell me, I'm going to put it on the market. And people are going to come and inspect the house because end of September, you give me the key. Where are you packing to? No place. So we told him we are moving without having an address. Hallelujah. So she called me. Yes, you are the head of the house. What is your decision? He gave the phone over to you. All you brothers who say you want to be, you want to be head of the house, get ready. He gave you the phone. Yes? Husband, decide. Are you going to tell him to advertise your house? The bro had to bring out all the antenna. I said, God, what are you saying? I said, well, if God says I should move, then that means I should give him an address. I should say you should advertise the house. I said, fine. Advertise the house. And house did not come until last week on Tuesday. Amen. Amen. And we were to move today. So, you see, God is going to bring us to a point where, we will have to take a decision. Abraham moved without knowing where he was going. Was that God? It's God. It's where God works. God said, do this. He said, where am I going to? God said, move, do it. So you must have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, you have not seen the house, you are resigning. Do you understand? But you see the house first, then you resign. God said, no, you resign first, then you see the house. Hallelujah. Do you understand the practicality of what we're saying? You see, and we have to come there. Say, oh, does it mean, I'm not sure God can give me this house. Well, God is going to try you and put you in a situation where you must commit yourself without even knowing where you are going to go. Amen. Amen. And when you pass the test, then God will move you on. If you fail, He will give you another one. You know. But you see, it all boils down to, you know, the work. You know, the thing about Christ, the work of the Holy Ghost that's given to lead us, to guide us, bring you into all truth. You know, and you see, it can be a personal thing. You can imagine Abraham. By the time he eventually entered, you can imagine he could talk to God. He had the testimony that he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But there was a time when it was not sweet. There was a time when it was really hard for him. 25 years. God said he'll give me a child. 25 years. Everybody has, all the people that God promised, the promise has come to pass. They say, bro, where do you hear your own promise? Amen. Hallelujah. But he held on. And after 25 years, the promise landed. Hallelujah. The Bible says that cast not away your confidence. Amen. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Amen. Amen. For after you have suffered a little while, the promise shall come. Amen. Amen. Somebody is suffering, say, oh God, there is suffering in it. Anybody that tells you there is no suffering, ask Jesus, sweat like blood. Is it not so? Somebody say, I'm a sweatless winner. Well, no problem with that. Let him go to Gethsemane, then you will see sweatless winner there. Amen. Struggled all to break through, but he broke through. So you must hear this complete story. It says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes. Somebody says always joy. It's not always joy. There is weeping. Amen. You know, a brother says many of us are carrying a vision in our loins. There's a vision you are carrying. There is a burden, a gift, something God has given you. You are carrying it. You must bet it. Amen. There's a time when you have to labor before it begins to comfort. And we don't want to labor. We don't want to strive. And we just want to get it. There's nothing like, even every woman here, you have had a child, you know what it is. You see the child running around now. You've forgotten the labor, isn't it so? You've forgotten the labor. But there was a time when it's like you are going to die. Your soul was just going to perish. But there was a breakthrough. See, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. Amen. So we must be able to key into the Spirit, understand the help God has given to us, that the Holy Ghost has been given to us as a help. And then we must begin to learn to receive that help, you know, on a practical basis. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I think sufficient. We've talked about Christ, so we can move on. Okay, so now we begin to enter into the priesthood to talk about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, that's 7. We are making progress. We are doing very well. We are doing very well. Amen. We are coming to. We're coming to Melchizedek. Check my bag. And let's look at the. Okay, let's go to that Genesis 14. What are the details there? Genesis 14. I think it's 14, is it not? No, go, I think it's 18. Okay. Now it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Can you imagine? He just introduced him. And Elijah, the Tishbite, no introduction. He just brought him to the scene. Amen. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And he and be blessed. And blessed be the Most High God, which I deliver my, you know, and all that. So this is the first introduction of this principle of Melchizedek. Alright? And he says he brought forth bread and wine, which piece of fellowship, and he gave to the man. Let's go to Hebrews 6. The question, who is this Melchizedek? Who is king of peace and king of Salem? Now, when we look at it, we also know that we actually also had Aaron, who was another priest. Let's read it. Seven. Hebrews 7. Good. He said, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Amen. I think let's go to Psalm 110. We will soon be finishing. Just be strong. It says a psalm of David. Remember, we are talking about the sure message of David, the vision that David had. He said, "I will raise again the tabernacle of David." He said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of where? Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemy. Thy people shall be with thee in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest after the other." Okay. Huh. "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Amen. Now this, so you're looking, this is an order. This is an order of priesthood forever. This is a priest that is ordained forever. Amen. So going forward, as he spoke to David, say, "I'm ordering a priesthood forever." Okay? We'll go somewhere and look. This priesthood has been from ever. Amen. So from generation to generation, there is a priesthood. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. But yesterday we saw that there is also another priesthood. Aaron. Alright. Levi rose up against his brethren, obeyed God, slaughtered his brethren. Say, who is on the Lord's side? Levi came. Isn't also? So you fall upon your brethren. And from that act, he became a priest. Amen. So he said, okay, anyone that is the son of Aaron shall become a priest. Amen. That priesthood was a temporary priesthood. It was temporary. It was not deep enough. It was carnal. It was fleshly. Amen. The Bible says, finding fault with that priesthood, it says, "I will take away the first that I may bring in another one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you people, your own priesthood, where is it? Your end time priesthood, where is it? Which one is he following now? You are doing national eldership. Do they go together, Sister Dobo? Look at the Melchizedek class. Say the church in America. Look at the Melchizedek. Does he understand America? He said the Equated Christians Association of Nigeria. Melchizedek is the Equated Christian Association of Nigeria. or the Jesus Loves Okrika Brethren. Hey, hallelujah. Okrika for Christ. Be safe for Christ. Hallelujah. Ofobo young Christians. Obia for Christ. Hallelujah. So determine where you are. Amen. The devil has cheated us. No more. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I have called you according to the order of my Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, this Melchizedek has been a priest from beginning. And his priesthood will never say of an unchanging priesthood. Amen. So if you have an ambition, it's to be part of this Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Brethren, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is, who are we following? Who is your apostolic giver? That's what direction are you following? Amen. Somebody said, oh, I used to look up to that brother, but the way he's doing now, in fact, if I'm so disappointed, how can you be disappointed when you're looking unto man? Hallelujah. The brother you're looking to is struggling, and you're looking unto the brother. The brother said, you saw him misbehave. You say, oh, no, I can't overcome anymore. That means your vision has a problem. If you're looking unto Jesus, you will not see any man. Amen. Hallelujah. You will not be disappointed in any man, because you will know. He said that you know what was a man. Isn't it also? Right. Hallelujah. So this scripture tells us very clearly about, you know, Melchizedek, like it's a priesthood. Okay? What the priesthood is all about, that it is a people that God has called. Amen. So we have said that the foundation of Melchizedek, it says that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can we see that scripture? But my, where was this again? He said, Revelation where? Eh? Okay, can we see Revelation 5? Because we are looking at our foundations. No, go up. Wait, you are so fast. Yes, go down. Go up.
Six.
It's not this, it says slain from the foundation of the world. Do a word search. Just say slain from the foundation. I hope you can see it. Anyway, of the world. Okay. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Okay, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, so Revelation 13:8 gives us the scripture that at the foundation there was a priesthood. In other words, there was a covenant made. Okay, because God, when he makes covenant, brings blood. So he made the covenant and there was blood. So the blood was slain from foundation, but the manifestation of it came many centuries, much down the road, was when it was physically, we saw a lamb being slain. And that's how the things of God go. You know, it's first of all in the spirit, then down the line it could manifest. And because he was a priest from foundation, he could appear anywhere in time, anytime. Yeah. Amen. He had access to the earth. Amen. He could manifest as Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He manifested as the captain of the host of the Lord. Amen. He came again as the fourth son in that. Amen. And your great 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 grandfather met Melchizedek. Amen. Say yes now. He manifested it to everybody. Amen. Every man had the opportunity to receive a witness in their heart. Even when Jesus was not there to be mentioned, there was a witness. Hallelujah. Because the keys of hell and death, they belong to him. That is the authority and the power of what we are saying. So don't let anybody say, okay, those people, what happened to them? Let them answer for themselves. And you know that the Bible said that he went to the spirits in prison and preached to them. There was a crusade in prison. Amen. He went and preached to them. Those who wanted followed him. He led captivity captive. Amen. So brethren, our priesthood has been from old. It is the biggest ancestral spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So when you are standing, you must stand on an authority. You are standing on the authority of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And because you are standing on that authority, there is no spirit that can come against you. They will try. But you see, if you have your foundation, if you know where you are standing, those spirits will not push you so much. You say it is written. And when you say it's written, you know where you say, I am standing by the foundation of the blood of Jesus. The devil has been sending spirits. Now, I want you to listen to this. There are specially designed spirits that have been released against fellowships, against marriages, against individuals, against relationships, and it is to destroy and tear down and break up. And hallelujah. Amen. How many people can agree with that? Good. Now, if you know that there are spirits released, what do? You succumb. How to say, resist the spirits. Amen. And what will he do? He will flee. Hallelujah. Now, how do you resist the spirit? Which authority? By which authority are you resisting the spirit? By the blood. Hallelujah. Say, I come against you by the blood of Jesus. You know, David, when the devil came against Goliath, he says, you come against me with bows. I say, I'm coming against you in the name. Hallelujah. Of the Lord God of Israel. Game changed, though. Angels automatically came into the matter. Before long, they called the man, said it was rolling on the ground. Because the man turned the battle and brought God into it immediately. Amen. Amen. Now, it seems that many of us are too ordinary in our thinking. That's, I'm trying to address your thinking. Amen. Somebody said, this brother is not telling us deep, deep things. I don't want to tell you deep, deep things. I'm telling you simple things. If you win the battle in your mind, it's over. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you that you are not ordinary. You have been in God. God knows about you. Do you understand? Not one hair of your body is not recorded in God. Not even one. All of them are recorded in the book of God. He knows about you. God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. I told my wife, I said, there is a house God has for us. Yeah. I'm going to that house. I don't know where it is, but I was landed in that house. Hallelujah. Some people want to marry wife every day, every girl that they see, say, sister, will you marry me? Stop telling the sister, will you marry me? Say amen now. If you don't want to say amen, you say amen. Leave the that's what I'm telling him now. Leave the sisters alone. Leave the brothers alone. Go to God. Hallelujah. We should say amen now.
Amen.
This is the problem. Say amen. There's a sister for you to marry. Go to God. Stop. Leave the sisters alone. Go to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you go to God, God will show you. He will show you that this is the place. Hallelujah. He said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no trialogue. You just know where it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a foundation. You can build on it, but there's a foundation. And that foundation is Christ. Okay, now, let's go one step further in talking about this Melchizedek. Now, in Revelation 24, 20 verse 6, let's put that up again. I want to bring an important principle. We'll come back again to Hebrews, maybe later today or tomorrow. If we don't, then that means we'll take another date, another time. We'll get to Hebrews. Now we are just scratching the surface. We'll get into the substance. Now, verse 4 says, the second part says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, in this priesthood of Melchizedek, there are two classes of people. Amen.
Amen.
The first is the high priest. Who is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek? Huh? Jesus, who is called the Christ, is the head of that order. Okay, let's go to Matthew 1:21. Yes. But you know, we're doing Bible study, so we're juggling scriptures. Good. No, that's not where I want. Where he says, and Mary brought forth her firstborn child, who was called Jesus. That one? Two, okay. This is 2:21. Go down. One what? 1:23. Alright, go to 1:23. That's why it's important. No, it's not this one. Say, Mary brought for her firstborn child. I was called Jesus the Christ. Say 1:16. 1:16. Check 16. 25. Okay. Aha. Good. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, the priesthood of Melchizedek is the priesthood of firstborns. I want you to write it down. Firstborn. And if we understand that, we can even close for the weekend. This is the most important. Firstborn. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, it's good to labor under the word. Amen. Under the anointing, it's good to labor. Amen. So, Jesus is a firstborn. Do you understand? We also must be firstborns. Amen. We must be the firstborn. The firstborn is the first to break through the matrix. He told him that anything that will break through the matrix, whether it's a man or a cattle or woman, it shall belong to the Lord. The firstborn is an offering. The firstborn is an offering. And the firstborn is obara. Is it not so? There's a priesthood that goes with it. Obi is laughing because he's the first. Actually, the firstborn son. All the land in his father, that's what I did for his pocket too. Somebody told me, say, you are the firstborn. If you tell all the boys and girls, my friend, go away, don't talk to me again. All the land is in their pocket. Nobody will talk to you because you are the priest. Is that not so? There is an authority. Everybody recognizes that there is an authority with the firstborn. Hallelujah. So, Jacob knew about the firstborn. But there was another rascal one. You know the rascal man? Huh? Esau. Say, what is this firstborn to me? My soul diet for. I want food. I want carnality. So he sold his firstborn for what? A plate of food. Hallelujah. Brethren, let us be very, very careful. Some of us, including myself, for a little few minutes of enjoyment, we threw away our firstborn. Hallelujah. God is calling you, brother, come and pray. Say, no, there's that program. Let me go and watch that program. So, you automatically bring your firstborn and put it at the same level. Hallelujah. The enjoyment of sin, the enjoyment of carnality, we are equating it with the enjoyment of being a firstborn. Hallelujah. The firstborn has a right. And this priesthood we are talking about is the priesthood of firstborns. The firstborn is the one to break out of carnality. I don't know if you understand. The firstborn is the first to come out of Egypt. You understand? Say, out of Egypt I have called my son. So everything you know in Egypt, at the camp meeting, they say right on the board, Egypt, we wrote fashion, worldliness, remember all those things? Worldliness, village, entertainment, darkness, what again? Tradition. What is again? All the things were all Egypt. God says the firstborn is taken out of those things.
Amen.
So if you want to be a priest, not just a priest, but after the order of Melchizedek, then you must come out from those things. That is, your appetite for all these things I'm talking of must fade away. Hallelujah. You must crucify them. You know, when you crucify a man, he doesn't die immediately. If they knock you on the wall now, you still have life in you. You'll be pain, you'll be shouting, praying, but you're not going to die immediately. It will take 3 to 8 days before the man dies. And that's how the flesh dies. They say it takes 3 weeks to break through a habit. Okay, agreed. Okay, to build. How many to build, to break down? The same thing. This is the teachers, so the authority people. They say it takes 2 to 3 weeks to build a habit. And it takes as much time, if not longer, to break it down. It's harder to break down. And many of you say, oh, no. Look, the habit you have cultivated for 20 years. You think about it, you come here, Isaac is shouting, he said, wave hand, you are free. After Isaac, you have to go home and sit down and talk with God. How will I break this habit? You see, we are not committed. We are not committed. We are all thinking it's a very, very simple thing. It's deep. We must sit down and break it down. Amen. Me, I'm working on some projects. Amen. Because immediately I'm going home, I reach my house. Immediately I enter my house, you know the first thing I do? I sit down in front of television. CNN. I want to hear CNN now. I know whether there's war in Nigeria, isn't it? So?
Mm-hmm. Mind you.
No, leave this. Don't go there now. Don't go there. Don't go that side. And I ask them, are you the Al Jazeera correspondent in Nigeria? Are you the Al Jazeera correspondent in Nigeria? Or do you work for CNN? Brother, are they paying you? Every day you must go watch CNN. Do they pay you? The many of us are Al Jazeera correspondents in Nigeria. Because every news of you must hear it. Even when you are not watching it, it must be on. Am I talking to somebody? It must be on. Amen. Brethren, something must drop. I'm telling you, something, we have to look at it. There are things that must drop. Amen. So you cannot be talking heavy, heavy words. Like Kizadek, Kizli, and you go to Al Jazeera. Well, at least we must begin to make a movement and change. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God is calling a people for a practical priesthood. And he says, if you want to be a priest, you must be a firstborn. Now, what I was going to say is that Jesus is a high priest. Every other person is an under priest. I call it an under shepherd. Do you understand? We are all priests. That's what he says. Go back to that other one. Just just click on back. Back. Uh-huh. Again. Good. Verse 6. Okay, good. So he said, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ. So in this order of Melchizedek, there are two groups. Christ, the head. And then every other person is what? A priest. After the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Ah, we should clap ourselves now. We have established that. Amen. So there are two. Christ, the high priest. And then the rest. So the body of Christ are priests. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the scripture tells us very clearly that, you know, he's raising a company of priests. So Christ is a body of priests. The head is Jesus, and the rest are his body. So both Christ and his body are equal. Now, no, this one, now you have a problem with it. Okay, no problem with it. Amen. Naturally, when they came to Jesus, they came to the garden. They didn't know who was Jesus, isn't it so? They had to bribe the man, say, go. He said, the one I will kiss, you know he is what? Jesus. Amen. You agree with that? Okay. Now, in the spirit, of course, somebody say, oh, Jesus is bigger than me. Yes. Jesus is bigger. It's like, look at Brother Cass and look at Sister Calista. Amen. Who is the head now? Brakas. But if Calista is sick for one day, go meet him now and ask him. He doesn't know how to boil water. He cannot do anything. So who is more powerful? Sister Doma, who is more powerful? He is the head, no problem. When she is sick, he can't boil water. Ordinary tea, he can love it. So who is more important? Who is more important? Okay. Amen. The Bible says that the body is the fullness of him that filled all in all. Amen. Hallelujah. The body must be like the head. Yes, he's the head. But you see, we have taken it as a license. You see, because Jesus is higher than us, we cannot be like him. It's not true. Say, as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. So we need to balance the scripture. And also remember that in the lampstand, this lampstand I was showing you, they take a lump of gold, just one lump, and they beat it into the seven candlesticks. Isn't it so? Three on this side, three on this side. The one in the middle is the shaft. It's not Christ. But there are branches. The branch and the stem are all from one source. Amen. The Bible says, if the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus dwell in us, the same spirit will quicken us. Amen. The way Jesus overcame is the way we are going to overcome. By the same spirit, by the same anointing, by the same priesthood, by the same sacrifice. Hallelujah. He is the head, but we are following. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible says that we are the lamb that followeth the bride, we whithersoever he is going. As he's going, we are going. Jesus came into this world with the fullness of God in his spirit and with the fullness of God in his soul. Right now, the body is about to break forth. We are about to get the fullness of God in our soul. Hallelujah. That's where we are. Hallelujah. Heaven is coming down. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my soul as it is done in heaven. So my soul will soon be a realm of God. Will soon be a place where the will of God is done. Hallelujah. But you know, there are some people, their soul will be a place where darkness is done. The fullness of God, darkness is coming, as it's also coming in you. Amen. So we have to decide. And you know, I make the point, what is important now is not fellowship and church. What is important is the fullness of God in your soul. Amen. We need church, we need fellowship, we need all those things. Like we are here now, we thank God that we can be here as brethren, you know. So amen. We have a little bit of administration. Somebody has to buy granola. Those ones are necessary. It's a ministry to give us a platform so that we can do the business of God. Amen. When you now turn the business, the ministry, into the business, God says, no, 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 not so, my brother. Amen. And do you know that man loves logistics, organization? Because man loves darkness. Amen. And we will not come to the light. So we are making the point that there is a timetable. And the timetable of God now is that the soul must receive the fullness of God. Now, if the soul is going to receive the fullness of God, there is darkness in the soul. That's why we must come to atonement. He says, at the day of atonement, everybody must begin to afflict his soul so that there will be a change, so that something new will happen. You know, so we must properly understand the timetable in the things of God. Must understand the timetable that God is working on. And to understand that this is the priesthood, okay, of Christ. And Christ is the head and is the body. And that is the real priesthood of God. Praise God. Okay, I'm released now. I can go to number 8. After number 8, we'll take a break. Amen. We are doing very well. Amen. Okay. Number 7 is Melchizedek priesthood, the everlasting priesthood. We are now on number 6 is Christ, and number 5 is Emmanuel. Number one is the sure mercies of David. That is sure mercies of David. I did many things under that title. Sure, that is that God has promised that the soul will become the throne of God. That is the oath God made. That I will not leave your soul in hell. You understand? Because soul has to be saved to become the throne of God. You got that? Okay. Okay, so let's take it again. The topic. The principles of priesthood. Principles of priesthood is all we are discussing. Or foundations of priesthood. That's all we are discussing. Number one, we say sure mercies of David, that God has promised and sworn by our oath that the soul will be made the throne of God. Okay, that's an oath. The second one will say that the soul itself is the eternal altar, temple of God, Zion. Alright? And then three, God is a spirit. And therefore, you know, we must fellowship him at that level. The number four, that man is also a spirit. The spirit and soul are spiritual dwelling in the body. One third body, two thirds spirit. Then number five, we talked about Emmanuel, God dwelling in flesh. As we dwell in human flesh, God himself will dwell in us. That is Christ. That's Emmanuel. Then Christ is the manifestation of Emmanuel. The people in whom the fullness of God has dwelt in, those group of people, they form Christ. Okay? And then number six, these people who are Christ are a priesthood. That's the Melchizedek priesthood. And you have the high priest, who is Christ. That's seven. High priest, who is Christ. And then all of us are under shepherds, are priests of God. And we come to the resurrection of the soul. Okay? So we've done very, very well. Now we are going to go a little bit, since we have got all these foundations, we can now go a little bit further. Amen. We shall go a little bit further. Now, we are, number eight is the soul, priesthood of the soul. Number eight is the priesthood of the soul. You shouldn't be tired though. I hear there is something special waiting. Amen. But I can't say, what is their problem? This is a special water mineral. Amen. Isaac, I'm not hearing your voice, so. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord will do what? We renew their strength. Do you know my strength has been renewed? Amen. The worst you could have been doing in your house is to eat chicken. And let me tell you, all those chickens, they have chemicals. So be very careful how you are eating those chickens. They have chemicals. By the chemicals make you to add too much flesh. They grow very quick, very fast. Amen. So come and eat the word of God. You receive strength. Leave the chicken alone. Amen. We'll give you watermelon that's anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're taking a little break. That's why we're relaxing. Amen. This is Holy Ghost break, not the one you go. This is Holy Ghost break. Amen. Okay, they say it's priesthood break. Amen. Okay. So can we take another one? Let's take this number eight. We can take this number eight, can we? The priesthood of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are doing very well. I'm so happy. We have. Okay, fine. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. I come a singing unto the. You can stand up if you want. But don't go out, don't go out. And be up, you can stand up, but not going out.
For thy redeemed shall return.
I come a singing
how to
Zion. Get up.
An everlasting.
This is the time they get up.
Will be a fire.
Get up now.
There shall be sadness and joy and sorrow
Okay, let's sit down. Amen. So we're going to be beginning the applications. The applications. No, put it up. So we have seen that the soul is a priest. When you say priest, it's not a very good way of putting it, but to see that the soul is the place where offering is made and sacrifice is made. It's a place where decisions are made. The soul has four natures. The soul has four realms of the spirit. Okay. The soul has four natures and four realms of the spirit within it. Amen. And we have said this soul is a bridge between the heavens and the earth. It's a place of mixture. So that means in its nature, it can be heavenly. In this nature, it can also be carnal, depending on which has more power, more dominion. Now, I want to explain a principle. Now, the soul, like if you notice in Revelation, sorry, in John chapter 16, it says, when he, use the word he, when he, the spirit of truth, is come. So, he's saying that this spirit is a masculine spirit. Do you understand? Can you receive that? Huh? So that when he is come, that means that the spirit of God is a masculine, that it's a spirit that has dominion. It's of a stronger dimension and power. Amen. Now, the Bible also refers to the church as she. Amen. So that means the church or the soul of man is of a lower dimension of spiritual nature and authority. Amen. Do you understand that? Good. Now, if you understand that, it now opens up so many things. What it means is that the soul of man must be married, must be joined to a higher spirit or to a higher authority. Amen. The spirit of the soul of man can never exist without a ruling spirit over it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? It's very important, because we cannot go forward unless we understand that principle, that the soul of man must be ruled over. Amen. There is no way. I'm trying to look for a scripture that will. Okay. Paul said, as a chaste virgin, I have espoused you to one husband. Okay. So the church is a virgin. It's a lower spirit that must be joined to a higher spirit. Okay. Yes. That I think I've seen another scripture where he says, in him that we are complete in him. Can we look at this? Colossians chapter 2:9. Let's look at this. Colossians 2:9. Let's see, what does it say? For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay. And then say, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So that means that man cannot be complete on his own. It requires a higher spirit to be complete. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Now, this is why he says that every woman prophesying with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Amen. Amen. She needs an authority. And it is speaking of the authority of the soul. The soul cannot function on its own as an island. It must be ruled by another spirit. Amen. Now, another way to look at it is that in the scripture we read in Ezekiel 28, where he says that it was giving you the natures of the devil, of Sedad and not Cherub. He mentioned 9, 10 stones. There were 10 that were mentioned. Now, when the scripture talks about stone, it's speaking of a jewel, speaking of glory, a beauty, a nature that one has acquired in God. You understand? And 10 was the highest dimension that the devil has acquired. And Psalm 8 says, that has made him a little lower than the angels. So that means that man on his own is 9 stones. 9, the glory that man has is of the dimension and order of 9. Amen. So if you stand against a spirit, the spirit has more authority than you. So you cannot fight a spirit. Practically, you go to your village, you go and knock down all the juju place. You say, Jesus has anointed you. You go and knock down all the juju. No problem. The only thing is that by 1 o'clock in the night, they will come and ask you a question. Who sent you? Amen. Because when you woke up in your morning, your car will knock engine. Brand new car. Or you service it the other day. As you just come out, it has not engine. Amen. Hallelujah. As you are going, they will tell you your uncle is in hospital. They can't hit him in the market. Before long, your son has failed his exam. They are asking you who sent you to go and knock down the things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say amen now. That is spiritual authority. You have to understand that. Meaning that you, as an individual, you cannot resist those spirits. You need authority. Amen. So that's why it says that you must have a city of refuge. That's a place where the high priest must be in the city of refuge. You know what? you need a higher authority, higher than the spirit, to be able to protect you and give you authority for the things you want to do. Amen. Now, I'm saying all this to say that the soul of man must have a ruling spirit. Do you understand that? The soul of man must have a spirit that has dominion over it. And that dominion must either belong to God or to the devil. I want you to understand that. Amen. The soul of man must have a ruling dominion. That dominion may be God or devils. Hallelujah. And what is the principle of warfare? What does it say? You cannot enter into the house of a strong man and do what? Destroy his goods without first of all binding the strong man. And that's why many of us have problems. We want to deliver the goods of the strong man, and we have not addressed the strong man. He's laughing at us. We can't go very far. We must first of all bind the strong man. Then you can destroy his goods. So that brings out for us a principle. When you talk about the priesthood of the soul, that there are three types of soul. There are three types. And there are three realms in which the soul is now living. It's now abiding. And where you abide, you eat there. Amen. Where you live is where you eat. Amen. If you ask the cat, where he walks is where he eats. Do you, well, you are walking where? Is it in Ikoyi or where you eat walking? Ikoyi? Or Ikeja? Do you go to Ikoyi to eat? Uh-huh. Why? Because if he's going to Ikoyi, he will spend 5 hours going. They will sack him the next day. Say, my friend, he's so good. They will sack him. Amen. So he must go to Ikeja. One, I know it's a big restaurant, you go and eat. One somewhere there, you go and eat today. He comes back to his office. You eat where you live. If you dwell in the spirit, you cannot eat in the flesh. If you dwell in the flesh, you can never eat in the spirit. If you don't agree, go and try it. There is no way you will dwell in the flesh and eat in the spirit. But that's what many of us are trying to do. We dwell in the flesh and we are trying to eat in the spirit. It won't work. Because it's the principle of dominion. There is a spirit that rules over the soul. And it has kept you on a level. You cannot get through from that one to another one. You know, they told the man, he said, those that are on your side cannot come to our side. Is it not so? There is a great gulf. Hallelujah. To pass from this side to this side, blood must go through. You must go by blood. It's only Jesus that can make a way for you to go from here and come over to us. Hallelujah. So let's go to Revelation 13. We'll see those three levels. Revelation 13. We'll see the three levels. There are three levels. Now, when you look at Revelation 13, we don't have time. So I know we are fresh, so we'll try and make progress. Now, Revelation 13 tells us that there are three levels. The level of the sea, the level of the earth, the whole. If you read... okay, come down. Think the verse. Come down. Let's... To 10. Okay, good. From 1 to 10 is sea. Then from 11 to 18, the last verse tells us about the earth. Then the whole of chapter 14 tells us the reign of the heavens. So Revelation 13 and 14 are actually the same, but one man called Erasmus divided the scriptures into different chapters. Okay, it's not this Erasmus, but another one. Is it Erasmus or Jerome? One of those historians. They divided the scriptures into chapters. Amen. But originally it was one prose. Amen. Say amen now. He was trying to make it easy for you to read. Amen. So there are three levels: the sea, the earth, and the heavens. There are three levels of spiritual dwelling where souls of men dwell. And God called it nations. You dwell according to your nation. Amen. Huh? He says ethnos means souls of the same like. He says the nations have drunk of the wine. Okay, let's go to Revelation 18. We'll come back to this one. Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Put the Italian on that verse 3. I want to show you something. Click on that word ethnos. These are the ethnic nationalities of the Niger Delta. It's not that word, though. These are the ethnic nationalities of the spirit. Read it there. A race as of the same habit, i.e., a tribe, especially a foreign, non-Jewish, or one pagan, Gentile, hidden nation, people. The one on the Android phone is even better. It gives you a better translation. The Android Bible is very good. It's a people of the same habit. That's a nation. If you're carnal, all the carnal souls, they dwell in a spiritual location called sea. Amen. They have a governor. Guess who their governor is? The beast that came out of the sea is your God. Amen. So no man will buy or sell except you have the mark of the beast. Amen. Now, what is the principle of idolatry? Who knows? Can you tell me? When you worship an idol, what happens to you? Not just servant, something else happens to you. You become, hey. When you worship an idol, you actually become like the idol. Huh? Isn't that what you told them? You become blind. See, the idols are blind. You too become blind. The idols are deaf. You too, you understand? You change to the image of what you worship. You must understand that. So when it says the mark of the beast, means those who worship the beast will receive his nature. He said, we all, with an open face, you know, so, beholding the glory. We are looking at an image. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Amen. Even Brakas and Kalista are looking the same. Brother, if I am looking at Sister Domo and Brother Hubajira, they are looking alike. Amen. As for Isaac and Jerawa, what's his name? And Abisha, they are brothers and sisters. Amen. Because they're always together. They look alike. Hallelujah. When you look at something, you become like that thing. Amen. And there is a spirit that rules the realm of the earth and the realms of the sea. It's one spirit. Let's go back to, I will come to this one. Because this tells you the eating habits of those who are in Zion or in the earth or in the sea. This is their eating habit. Revelation 18. We'll come back to it. But let's go to 13. Go back. Just click on back. 13. Revelation 13. 13 and 14. Okay, good. Okay, let's just read quickly. It will give us a basis. He said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and this, you know, names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. And the dragon, who is the dragon? Because in Revelation 20 it says, and that great serpent, the dragon, you understand? Who is this? You know, so we're told. So the dragon gave him his what? His power, seat, and what? Great authority. So it's a throne. You are looking at a throne. Okay? There's a spirit ruling at the throne. And that throne is the soul of men. Now you go back to Matthew 4, where he told Jesus, "So if you sit down and worship me, what will I do? I will give you the kingdoms of the world." And we know it was the souls of men that he's speaking of. So that is the authority he has over the souls of men. He's the ruling spirit over the souls of men. And we know how he got that authority when he submitted to the serpent. Say, "To whosoever you yield yourselves, servant obey. His servants ye are, to whom ye obey." So from that point, the soul became a servant, and the spirit of darkness began to rule. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and so on. Verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So you're looking at two things. You have the beast, and you have the dragon. So there is what I call the kingdom of the beast. There are people who are in this kingdom. It is the souls of men. And what they do there is worship. Because the soul is a minister. The soul is a priest. Hallelujah. The soul is a priest in this temple, bringing worship to the this. It's a saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, where we are now, we are in the time of this 42 months. Somebody says, "Is it exactly 3.5 years? I don't know. But I know it's a prophetic time. And during this time, the power of the devil will become the power in the world. The power of God is on the decline. If you're a Christian, they laugh at you. Everything, Obama, all those people, they are ruling over the place, carnality. You know, there's a new one now. I said, "God, we have lost the war." You don't know the new one now. Shorts. Miniskirt is old time. Miniskirt, sister, is old time. There's a new one inside the church. What's it called? Shorts. Amen. Okay, I should say amen. Loose. You call it what? Bomb. Jesus of Nazareth. Because don't worry, who call the name? Brother, why are you? It's shorts. Don't call the rabbi. They used to wear it inside the bedroom. Now it is on the street. And very soon, I prophesy to you, you will see it on Kingdom channel. You will see them singing Christian song wearing it. Somebody said they're already wearing it now. That is, iniquity is gaining the higher ground. And this is what you're looking at. The beast is ruling. And men are following after it. Amen. He said, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to do what? To make war with the saints, and to overcome them. Somebody say, how can the devil overcome the saints of God? Yes, if the saints are dwelling on the earth. If we are carnal, the devil will overcome us. Amen. And majority of the church is where? At the carnal level. So that's why the power of the church is weak, because we are carnal. But what we are doing this weekend, we are trying to rise up. We are trying to rise. We are trying to come out from the world. Amen. Verses. Yes.
And he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that
dwell in heaven. Yes.
Why is he overcoming them that dwell in heaven?
No, he's blaspheming. He's blaspheming them. You understand? He's blaspheming them. Okay. And then and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's different. Uh-huh. And to overcome them. And if you look this verse 8, you find it in Daniel. Okay, the Bible said that in Daniel that there was a beast that came out, the fourth beast, that it destroyed and overcame the people of God until the Ancient of Days came and the people of God So this is where we believe we should be coming. A place where God can come to us, bring strength to us, and we can rise up and overcome. Okay, so it is something that an individual will have to determine. We are in a place where we all have slumbered and slept. We have been in carnality. We have backslidden. Our fire has gone out. And we are saying, God, come to us. So when God comes to you, you rise up. And then you begin to overcome. You know? So we are saying that God wants to turn the tide. It says, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we are looking at, this is the major trend that you find in the world. The place of worldliness, the place of carnality, the place of religion. And it is a place where there is defeat, there is no strength. The Christian is a pauper. The Christian is spineless. He cannot stand because he is dwelling at the reins of the earth. He is carnal. I remember, what makes you carnal is where the soul is dwelling, which spirit is ruling over the soul. And here we have seen very clear that there is an authority, there is a seat, and there is a power, and there is a beast that rules over all. Look at it. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. He didn't say those who dwell in heaven shall worship him. Those who dwell on the earth shall worship him. So the question is, where do we dwell? If we dwell at the realm of the earth, then we will bring worship. So this is speaking of the souls. You know? And as I was saying, if you come into the tabernacle, this is what you find at the brazen laver, the place of consecration. This is the place where many people, particularly those of us in the end time church, we got there and we have turned back. And we are going out of the tabernacle. Where is it? The laver, you have the brazen altar, and then you have the laver. You have the tabernacle. Okay? So this is where the problem is. This is the point of consecration. Now, when a man is born again, he comes, this is the sea, this is the earth, and then this is the heavens. That is what you have in the tabernacle. The outer court, the Bible says, don't measure the outer court. What will happen to the outer court? Is going to be given over to the... That's a very good way of saying it. It is going to become worldly. Worldliness will take over the outer court. That's what that Revelation 11 is saying. So, you see an outer court that is taken over by the world. The man is saved, yes. But he is worldly. That means he has not consecrated himself to move into the spirit. He has not consecrated himself to be heavenly minded. And the next thing, actually, the point number 10 that we're going to see is that when you are talking about priesthood, worship is not when you sing a song. Worship is what happens in your mind, what happens in your emotion, what happens in your desire, what happens in your will, the activities, the states, the functions of your mind. That is what is worship, not the song that we sing.
Oh, yes.
So we see, we come to church, people are singing, they say, let us worship God. You were worshiping God in your bedroom. When you are cooking soup, Angelina, God punish you. That is worship.
Worship in the devil.
But that's not what we call worship. Worship is when we say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. My dear sister, laugh. Amen. And God is saying, let us make the transition. Amen. Let us make the transition. That this man is the priest. Hallelujah. It is what I do in my members that is worship, not in my lips. So with their lips, they serve me, but their heart is where? In Babylon. The heart is in Babylon. The lips are saying all manner of things. God says, it says, I, the Lord, I look at the heart. Amen. I weigh the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So, this is the principle. Verse 1 to 8, they tell us about the beast. It's a spirit that rules on behalf of the devil. The dragon is up there, the beast is there, and is functioning. So, it's a spirit. Now, suppose if you when you read some books, they will tell you the beast is Europe. And they will say it is this. Well, that is an interpretation. I don't want to argue with that. But I know it's deeper than that. Amen. It's deeper. They'll tell you the leopard means France, it means this one. Fine, no problem with that. The Word of God has different interpretations. No problem with that. But we are looking at the reality. And we see that beast is piece of a nature. Amen. And that nature is the nature in man. And I call it the hybrid spirit. The hybrid. It has no nature. It is lion. You know, see, that means it has come, everything is coming to the full. And that is the spirit that rules this generation. He said the last kingdom that will rule is what? Rome. Is it not so? But Rome, in history, carried the traditions of the Greeks. Is it not so? Where are the historians? The Roman people carried the history and culture of the Rome of the Greeks, refined it, added it to their own. Is it not so?
Yes.
Alexander the Great took the culture of the Persian people. Babylon. He overcame them. He made his headquarters there. He refined their culture, brought it into their culture, and the Greek culture ruled over the whole world. God even used it to write the Bible. Do you understand? It's the same spirit. So by the time it comes to the fullness, it has both the Assyrian, Babylonian, Egyptian, all the spirits come together in one. And that is the spirit you are dealing with. He says it has no, it is of a diverse nature. He says it's able to destroy, break down, tear down. Nobody can stop until the Ancient of Days came. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So we are saying that the Ancient of Days has come this weekend. If you will agree. If I will agree. Oh God, come to me and deliver me from this spirit that is stronger than me. Amen. If you look at Psalm 18, it says, deliver me from strong bulls of Bashan, strong spirits. It says, deliver my darling from the power of the dog. Amen. The darling speaks of the soul. And God said, deliver my soul from those that are stronger than me. There are spirits stronger than you. Amen. And you must cry to God, say, God, deliver me from these spirits. Many of us are battling with what you call besetting sin. It is a spirit. It's a demon. Hallelujah. It's a demon. And God wants you to drive that spirit out of your soul. You will do it. I will do it. Now, whether you want to do it or not, that's your own. But you must drive out those spirits from your emotions. Amen. They feed on our emotions. I was talking to a brother in the U.S. Said there was one man. A spirit will come to him and say, I want blood. Until he kills a young girl, he will not be himself. Immediately he kills the girl, he comes back to himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a spirit. So he was saying, he told the police people, I need help. See, there's a spirit that comes to me and says, I want blood. I want blood of a particular young girl. Any young girl in me, whether it's prostitute or whatever, he's going to kill the girl. He kept doing it until God spoke to one brother and said, look, that man is possessed by a spirit. He went to the police and said, look, he has a problem. And they allowed him to minister. He ministered to the young man, became born again. And I think today he's a minister of God. They were going to kill him. He said, "Oh, give me time. I minister to him." So he was able to get the point that there was a spirit that was driving him. Amen. Some of us will have spirits from our ancestry. Some of them we have acquired it through life that come to us and they force us to do certain things. Amen. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You must go to God and get energy. You must get strength to drive those spirits out. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is where church must begin. We must come to a point where we can say the time has come for the strongholds to be taken down. Hallelujah. And it comes when we understand the principle. Now, the principle is that there is a ruling spirit. Now, if there is a ruling spirit over my soul, there is a way to deal with that spirit. What does the Bible say? You must first of all bind the strong man. How do you bind the strong man practically? Okay, I will tell you. Colossians says, what does it say? Say, set your affections on the things above. Let me draw it for you. See, the soul, I don't know if we have something like something to clean, but you see, the soul is like a triangle, or is it a trapezium? This is what I see in the spirit. This is where the battle is won and lost. This is what they call passions. This is the passions of the soul. Here you have the emotion. Here you have the desire. This one is a lion. This one has the face of a man. That means it can be carnal or it can be godly. That's what it means. When you say it has the face of a man, it means it has a dual personality. It could be carnal or it could be godly. Okay? And here you have the mind, and here you have the will. Now, this is where the battle is won and lost. There is a spirit that has possessed our passions and drives us in a particular direction. And the will is fixed to bring about those passions. Amen. And the mind is fixed on spirit. The Bible says, if you are carnally minded, it's going to bring forth what? Death. But to be spiritually minded means what? Life. Good. Now, practically, what does it mean? What it means practically is that you must set your affections on heavenly things. That you must bring your emotions, you must bring your desire, and bring it under God. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the prayers to pray is say, God, change my appetite. In other words, you are bringing your emotion as an offering. Say, God, this is my appetite. I desire. Lust means to desire what is forbidden with an intense desire. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That is lust. That is, God says, don't take these glasses. You not only desire the glasses, you desire it intensely. That is, the desire is so strong that you cannot control yourself from taking it. That means that a spirit is no longer just your desire. A spirit is dwelling and operating in your desire to cause you to take the glass, because that spirit wants to get life by you taking the glass. Do you understand? Because it's called what they call demons. These are disembodied spirits. In hell, they have no life. I don't know. Are you with me? In hell, they have no life. The only life they can get is through you. Bible says that when a spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. Nobody is walking in that particular nature. So it comes to you. Most likely a familiar spirit, or a spirit that has brought forth a habit and comes to you. And he will do everything possible, bring your emotion to the point where you get angry, or you begin to look at things that are unclean or form. And in doing that, when you submit to that nature, it receives life from you. So it is the interest of the Spirit for you to walk and behave in a particular fashion. Because by doing that, in doing those things, you minister life to it. Amen. So it makes you to function in a particular way, and it's a priesthood. So you are serving a priesthood, you behave in a particular way, or you dress in a particular way, or you say things in a particular way that the Spirit will get life from. Amen. So God is going to set you up. Now, how do you deal with it? You deal with it by, number one, please sit down, recognizing that you have a problem. And the Bible says that when you go to war, you must build your embankment round about the stronghold. Isn't it also Deuteronomy 20? So that when you go to war, you must build, you must identify what you are dealing with. And you go to God in prayer and say, God, this is the problem. And I bring it and I'm offering it to you. Amen. Now, what are the things that make it easy for you to get angry? What are the things that make it easy for you to get into situations that you shouldn't get into? You have to look at those things. And you must bring it as an offering. And you give. Now, for instance, some of us like to spend time, you know, watching television, doing all those things. Now, the television is a dedicated altar of the devil. No response. Agreed? It is. I didn't say you don't hear news, though. You hear news. But it's good and evil. Don't you understand? It can never be good, bad, or true. There must be some good in it. That's what makes it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There are some good things. Now, because of the good things, many of us don't want to give it up. I say, oh God, you know when I'm tired, I come back from work, I need to watch some men running around chasing a ball. To relax. No worry. Now I want to relax with Brother Isaac's message. Say amen now. Let his message be playing and I will relax. So you understand, I have to change the way I spend my relaxation. I have to change it from my mind that relaxation is not only by watching television. I can lie down on my bed and I'm relaxing. I can sit down, I'm listening to a message and I'm relaxing. You could say amen now to give me life. Amen. That is how to bring the affections on the things above. That is, you sit down and you look at your time. Say, what are those things that give room? Do you know that if the word of God is coming to you, there will not be any room for darkness to come in. But you know what the devil does? He gets you busy. He breaks your routine. The time you spend in praying, he gets into it. You go to, you just go on, go on, go on. Then when you are dry, what happens? The Spirit comes to knock on the door. Say, yes? Are we ready to get an... You understand? The setup will come. You know? Something happens, the Obiakwa people will come, the same people, they will all come up. This team marriage, they will all come. And God will say, okay, it's time again. But you see, so you need to prepare for it. And you must know the pathway of the devil and get ready to deal with it. And the Bible says the entrance of the word, it giveth life. So if you are going to overcome, then you must build an embankment. You must give time. You must submit your emotions. You must change your appetite. You must begin to talk with God. You must begin to feed, you know, your soul. You must be able to receive life. And in doing that, you will see that, you know, I mean, the time will come. The things that used to be so, you know, so important to you are no longer important. It's like somebody buys a toy for you and say, Brother Cass, I want to buy a toy for you. I love you so much. I'm going to buy a 30,000 naira toy for you. Amen. When they give it to him, he goes to his neighbor, see one small boy, say, please take the toy. Why? Why not? The toy doesn't mean anything to him. When he was maybe if much, much younger, that would be the biggest thing to him. But the toy has no effect. The things that used to mean so much to us, God needs to bring us to the point where those things do not mean anything anymore. That's when they bring those things, it's of no consequence. But you see, you don't just wake up and it becomes of no consequence. You must work at it. You must bring it as an offering. You must pray about it. You must talk about it. You must cry to God about it. And you must offer it to God. Say, God, take it away. Amen. Amen. It's not by willpower. I will not be. I will not be. It's okay. But I'm telling you, you must offer it to God. Say, God, take it away. And then God will test you. Are you really serious? You say, God, I don't want to watch match again. Don't worry. The World Cup will come. You have many good matches coming. What will you do? You say, God, will you just permit me? Just 30 minutes. Just 30. 30 minutes will lead to 3 hours. Amen. Because the man hasn't offered all. Amen. So we're saying that we're looking at the various dimensions of the altar. Okay? And then I think we'll push it a bit, and I think we're just going to be able to stop here. When we come tomorrow, I think we can start, we can end at a convenient point. So I think I will stop at this point. I think we have established something. But looking at the soul, I think we have laid a particular foundation in the sense that there are 3 types of soul. I've not explained that. Tomorrow we'll be able to look at the 3 dimensions of the soul, and then the functioning of this soul, and then how we can practically get life, and how we can practically come to a place of change. The Bible says there is a river that makes glad the city of God. It says that river flows down. It is for the healing of the nations. Amen. Your soul is meant to be healed, and it is from this river of God that is meant to bring healing. The soul of man doesn't know God. It is the Spirit of God that comes, that brings truth to us, begins to teach us the things of God. We are not used to desiring God. Nobody is born desiring God, but it's the Spirit of God. Say, He will take of the things of God and He will show it to you. He will lead us into all truth. He will make us hungry for the truth of God. Amen. Jesus says, my will, my meat is to do the will of God and to do it completely. It's possible for us to receive life by doing the will of God. When we do the will of God, we are so fresh. We receive life. I'm telling you, you can get life more than you can even get from eating yam. You eat a plate of yam, you have life. Isn't it also? But I'm telling you that you can get life by doing the will of God. Hallelujah. That is the change we are talking of. Hallelujah. That when you are walking with God, there's a life you will have. That life will affect your soul. It will affect your body. Your body will even become new. Amen. People will see you. Say, you're looking fresh. Yes. You're eating heavenly manna.
Hallelujah.
It's called hidden manna. Amen. It begins to affect your body. All the sickness that used to be in your body will go away. Do you understand? It will begin to go away. Because the life of God is coming to your soul. The soul affects the body. It's called psychosomatic. There's a connection between the spirit, your soul, and body. When your soul is healed, the body itself the body itself will become healed. Forget about what it is. Forget about what it is. Not by this brother. Forget what I call it. There's a connection between your soul and your body. When the Spirit of God begins to come into your soul, your body itself will be changed.
Amen.
Amen. Do you understand? That's what we are saying. And we are saying we must begin to receive appetite for these things of God. Can you imagine those angels, they were saying, those demons, cherubims, holy, holy, 24 hours, nothing else. Do you understand? It is appetite, brethren. Hallelujah. He says, dust thou art, and dust you will remain. Do you understand? Dust is the food of the enemy. Do you understand? It is, you say, upon thy belly you shall grow. I will not go on my belly. Hallelujah. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to fly. Hallelujah. So you receive wings as the eagles and you fly in the things of God. That comes about a change in nature. And that is why God will bless you for this weekend. Leaving your house, come and sit down here. Amen. You deny yourself. You are acquiring an appetite for God. For the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that as you are driving home, you are excited because you are going to go into the Word of God. That is the preparation we are talking of. You no longer be excited that there's a television program that are going to do so and so. Those things you bring it to God, say, God, those things will no longer excite me. The thing that will excite me is that I'm going to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Do you know now when I'm listening to a message, I bring out my Bible because I'm going to hear new things. You understand? Because as I'm listening to the message, I'm getting new things. Hallelujah. You need to go to God, brethren. The excitement you get from the things of God is better than any other excitement. If you are not excited, it's because your soul is dead. But you see, it will not continue in that direction. If you continue, you continue, you continue, there will be a change. You know, they told us four scriptures a day. How many of us are doing it? Huh? Four chapters a day. How many people are still doing it? Go back. Okay, I said two. Okay, how many of us are doing two? Okay, so now we are taking it back to four. Since we brought it to two, you didn't do it. So we are taking it back to four. Two is cancelled. We are now doing four. Brother, sorry. We are now back to four chapters a day. Amen. Four chapters a day. Start from there. That is how you build the appetite. Read it. Study it. Think about it. When you are going to have your bath, get this tape, play it. Amen. When you are eating, play the tape. When you are listening to national news, we play the tape. I see your problem. I'm hearing national news, but I'm also hearing the scriptures at the same time. The scripture is playing under. Is this what? Babylon. No problem. But the problem is that I'm hearing the scripture at the same time I'm hearing the news. Hallelujah. Let two of them fight inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Let them fight. The kingdom, let the kingdoms war. One must kill itself. And the word of God must kill it. Amen. Until the time I don't even want to hear the news anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. We must use everything and get this appetite to change. Now, when our appetites change, brethren, I'm telling you, we are overcoming. Do you know why? Eve fell by eating. Do you understand? The problem of the soul is eating. Energy. Amen. Amen. And the salvation will come by eating also. That's why every sacrifice there must be eaten. You say he brought bread and wine. It's offering. Amen. And many of us were defiled by the things we eat. The things that come into our soul. The doorway into our soul must be blocked so that there will only be one door. Somebody said, do not desire anything. The only thing I desire is Christ. Amen. That the only thing that will excite my emotion is what? Christ. The only mind that I will have is what? Christ. My will is to do the will of God. I don't have any other interest. Now, all those things do not come by wishing it. You have to work at it. It is an offering you must bring. You must watch over your soul. You must, you know, bring it to that point. So these are some of the basics that we have begun to touch. And then tomorrow we are going to push it a little bit. We will talk about the offerings of the soul. We will talk about what the Bible calls the feast of the soul, or what I call the stations of the soul. The different experiences. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. Those are specific landmarks that the soul must come into. Amen. The soul of man is an altar. When Adam fell, it became an altar of Baal. it was cast out into outer darkness. It began to function in darkness as an altar. Do you understand? When you get born again, that altar is brought into the kingdom of God, and it begins different. It begins to go through different changes. Amen. And it is going to end up as the altar of God, as the throne of God, as the bride of God. But before it goes there, it must be anointed. It must be consecrated. It must be fed and changed. It must be dressed up. And those are the things it must go. But as it is doing those things, it is functioning as a priest. Amen. It must acquire more ability to bring a rightful offering. Amen. The eyes of understanding that have been darkened must be opened. You must know about God. You must begin to acquire a new taste. Do you understand? It was born without knowing God. It doesn't know God. It doesn't know who God is. So it must be taught. It must be convinced that God is good for the soul. Do you understand? So the soul will begin to desire God. It will begin to be hungry for God. Hallelujah. It will be an exciting experience. And when it is sufficiently convinced, it will give itself to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And at that point, it is completely offered. Say, I'm ready to be offered. Hallelujah. We need to get there. And we must get there. Amen. Amen. God will have a people that will come to that point. Hallelujah. So that we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but those who press on. Hallelujah. To the saving of the soul. Amen. So I think we will stop at this point. I think we have covered a lot of mileage, and we thank God. So we'll take questions and then we'll close. Yes, Mr. Noe. In the case of Gideon, what happened? God told him, go. God said, go and destroy. And he called his brethren. They went in the night. But thank God for the night. Whether it was night or morning, he went with his brethren. That's the rule. You understand? An individual cannot stand against a spirit. It's just like when you are praying, say, Satan, I bind you. I bind devil. Okay, now. After you bind the devil, he'll come and knock on your door. Yes, what are you saying? Do you really mean you want to bind him? You understand? So as an individual, your authority is limited. But that's the body. Then stronger. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So that's why, if God is saying to you, go and deal with certain things, then you go with the people of God.
But assuming God did not tell you, but you just notice that there's a problem and there's something.
If you notice that there is something, that is the error that we are trying to correct. First of all, you go to God. There is a problem I've seen. What should I do? Then he will tell you, do this, do this. You understand? Not you thinking, if I do this, the brethren will know I am zealous. Oh, you are believing God. You understand? God is not telling you. David will go say, look, the enemy is there. Should I go? How should I go? One time God says, if you go, they will defeat you. Is it so? He said, "Shall the men of Keilah give me over to the devil?" They say, "Yes, they will give you over." The man carried his things, ran away that night. That night, they ran away. God told him, "If you stay in this place, they are going to give you over." You understand? So the secret is, when you notice something, the first thing you do, you go to God. "This is a problem. What do I do?" And you are listening. You can also, of course, tell your brethren, say, "Look, this is what I know. Pray along with me. Let us get a word of what to do." Then God will give you a definite word. "Do this, do this, do this." And then that will address the problem. So the problem has been that we have been presumptuous. We notice something and we take an action on our own without hearing from God. It's the hearing from God that is the issue. And Gideon, God told him, and when he was going, he went with his brethren. You understand? So it's the wisdom of obeying God that is the matter. Do you understand? So the secret is, when God gives you something, first of all, go to Him. "How should I do it? When should I do it?" And all that. So when you get all those details, then you will now see how you are going to work it out. And when you do, you see it will work out fine. But most of the things that we have done that in the past, if someone makes an error, you cannot continue to live in the past. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, "The things that are behind, what have I done? And I move forward." So we must move forward. We must learn to draw the line and move forward. And when you move forward, you know you have moved forward. You know. So I mean, we've done those things. There was a time when I was in adults of this, when I was in secondary school. You know, one boy came and told me that he saw another boy in hell. I called the boy. I said, "They saw you in hell." He went and called his father. That they said they saw him in hell. The father called the principal. They closed down the school. They closed down the SEM group, and all of us went home. Do you understand? All of us went home because I didn't handle it well. Somebody had a dream that he saw one boy in hell. We called the boy. I said, "Look, they say you are in hell. It's okay now." He went and told his father. The father called the principal. Said, "They say my son is in hell. Say my son, close down the group." They closed it down. Amen. So zeal has caused a lot of problems, but we must be able to put the mistakes of the past and then press forward. You know, so when I was a child, what did I do? I spoke like a child, I acted like a child. But now, when I become matured, I put away childish things. So we are now becoming matured. We are coming into the proper functioning of the body. We know how things should function, and then we know our limitation. Even, in fact, I haven't had time to talk about it. In the priesthood, there is an order. He says the sons of Kohath will carry the ark. The sons of Merari will carry the pillars. The sons of so and so will carry the boards. Somebody say, "After all, to me, I can carry the ark." You want to carry the ark? They say carry board. You want to carry ark? I don't know. Can't touch the ark. The man went and touched the ark. You know what happened? He was buried. So we are coming to that point. We must know our limitation. God says, "Say, water, come out." He said, "Ye rebels," and he knocked on the thing. So no problem. Water came out. He said, "My friend, can you come aside?" He called him aside. I said, "Your journey has ended." Do you understand? Those are the things in the priesthood. You know, so many of us were taking many things for granted. Oh, we can't all do everything. There are specific things in the body for you to do. So when you become more mature, you'll be as sensitive to know your limitations, the things that God has given you and what He has not given you. You do what God wants you to do and you stay. And you look at the body. Acid is in this body. This body you're looking at it has acid. But it's only one location of the body. And that is only where you can be. If you release the acid, it will dissolve everything else. You understand? It is functioning, doing just one particular work. And that's why God put it there. And the body needs that acid. If you carry that acid, bring it near the eye, everybody will be blind. Do you understand? So that's how it is in the body. There are ministries and there are gifts, there are callings. And God has put them in different places. He has brought them into certain fellowships. Because those fellowships can contain them. Do you understand? Say yes now. God has brought you to certain fellowships. If they go to other ones, they will scatter the place. Amen. So when God puts you in a place, stay there. Don't be walking around and going to different places. Stay where God puts you, because He puts you there because that is where you can function. Amen. You say, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. You know, so then also will I bring that there will be one sheep. So here, God has put me here. Is it also? Now here I go function. I'm not going anywhere because that's where He put me. You understand? I'm not saying that there are no other places, but this is the one I know. Say amen now. I know here. That's where He put me. So I walk here. I will submit to the brethren here because He put me here. Very, very clear. And I will walk and function to make sure here is functioning, because that's where God put me. I don't even think of other places because it's not my business. Is it my business? It is God's house. He will take care of His house. Many of us will worry for things that belong to God. The things that are God's are God's. Me, the things that He has showed me, I will do. So do the one He has given you and forget about the rest. He will take care of His body. Amen. You know, so that is the thing about the body. You know, you have to discern the body, know your responsibility, know where it stops, and all that. We cannot all do all things. So it's not to say that you are not weak. You are weak. After all, if you see it, you can go and do it. No, there's an order. So you must know your order and then keep to it. Amen. Yes.
You know, there are many late men that we see on the road, and many men who are mad. It has been very long, and it is not would be very wise for me to back my car, come back here. That would be difficult, not me to leave them on the road. You know, most of the people that I have done here, they came to me. And in dealing with shine and all, if you bring the ministry of the world to the people, and they are willing to give up their chance, then you will get them one of them. You know, if you don't give them up, you will break spiritual wounds and you will get them up. The people that, even the Lord Himself, does not come and cast the wisdom and come from you. You have ever said, I have to take my anger and go and live before the Lord. The man prepared him. He ran into the Lord and covered. So if you have not done that, you now go and cover the idols. You know, they came against you. They did. They wanted to kill me. But his father stood and said, and you have to defend me. And that is to go and say, as we come against you, then we. You need to recover and know who sent you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So any other question or comment before we close? Yes. Okay. Brazic has an answer. Give. What came to me was the situation of Saul and the Gibeonites. You know, Joshua had made a covenant with the Gibeonites by trickery, isn't it also? But it was a covenant. Whether it was Wayo or it was a covenant. And then he now went and killed the Gibeonites in his zeal for God. What happened? A plague started immediately. David went to God and said, what's the problem? He said, it is for Saul and his house. Then what happened? He went to God and said, how do we deal with the situation? He says, kill these 70 sons of... Okay, they told him they wanted 70 sons. The 70 hands. What did God say? Did God say, no, those that give you honors, go and sit down? God said, go and give, do what they said. You understand? So he went and he brought 70 some foot. It's not David. It was David who went. Yes, it was David that went. And the 70 young men who didn't know what was happening, their heads were down. They put it in a basket, say, and then the thing was quenched. And that problem was dealt with. You know, so what it means is that if God gives you a word, if something happens, you hear a word, you should go to God. Don't just act, don't say, because this brother is doing this, I must do this. Okay? They say we should do traditional marriage. But in your heart, you have done the traditional marriage. But physically, you are following us. But inside, you have done the there is trouble. You understand what I'm saying? So, you must settle all those things, because if you go do that, that means there's an opening. The devil is going to give you trouble. Now, when we have acted without zeal, and we have, you know, what we should do is to go, you made a mistake. What do you do? If there's a mistake, you go to God. Yes. You go to God. The scripture also says the city of refuge. That you come to the city of refuge and you tell your matter. Is it not so? You come to the elders, you come to the congregation and say, this is my problem. I think there's a problem here. Then the brethren will go to God. I say, there's an issue. What do we do? Then the word of God will come. Do this. And that will take care of it. You know? Yes, so if there has been an error, it's to go back to God and say, there is something definite. You, but the onus lies on you as the individual to go to God and say, Lord, I think there is an error. In fact, as Isaac is talking now, remember when we used to run around along the road, we would see people dropping money. Well, we didn't know that it was an offering. We used to carry those offerings and go and buy biscuits. We used to buy all those things. So then we also bring it and give it. Then I realized that it is offering money. Amen. And as he was talking, I was praying one small prayer in my heart too. Yes, now. I said, God, forgive me. I didn't know I was carrying. Amen. So you as an individual, you have to go to God and say, Lord, this is, what do I do? God will give you an answer. What do you do? He will tell you, do this, specifically, and then you address it. And then when once you have addressed it, you move on. You know, you can't keep going around and around. Yes, but I can't. Give him.
I also want to encourage us. Because of the things we have had, we should not be afraid.
Amen.
You know, this spirit and this idol that shines. You know, you begin to get up and say, I will not go, I will not do this. What I was wondering, Daniel's over there, and some Daniel's from there. We remember that this church was two down the school, and Daniel closed down.
Amen. Amen.
He's also going down.
Amen.
I saw one there. So where I'm going to is that this spirit,
amen,
the church has
authority
against the spirit.
Amen.
We won't get rid of it.
No.
But the question is that we need to get the word of the Lord or do whatever
we want to do. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So
amen.
Normally I'm going to your day that God says, speak to this spirit.
Amen. I have to go back. No.
God is no more powerful than the things of darkness. Not saying that I can go become something, but without zeal, without faith, without God knowledge, and begin to decide to do that. But I don't think that, for instance, I don't used to say, I think it's not
You have even answered it. If somebody went and did something, if God told you, go and put it down, you go and put it down. The issue is, what did God tell you? So if the person, God said, put it down, you go and put it down. If you go home tomorrow and God says, I want you to go and do it, you go and do it. But you have to be sure that it is God. That's what we're saying, that it is God, not presumption. Okay? The error comes in where it is presumption. You know, God didn't really tell you. Say, okay, you know there's a problem, but he didn't really tell you. You just imagine that it will be good. You understand? And then you're having problems. That's why it comes in. But if it's clear, go and do so. You go and do it. Amen. Because it's not every time that you might be able to get all the brethren and so on.
No.
You
shouldn't go back at all.
Even if there's a mistake, you can't go back to the
uniform. What you're saying is that you wrong to the Lord.
Yes.
You thought it's your wrong and your blessing, you need to go. So if you think you have made a mistake and whatever has happened, if you go to the Lord and you made a great mistake, you went to God. God made an answer. What should I do? Should I bring you to the Lord? So your business really is with God, not with
you. No, with your priest.
So you have no business.
You have no business with them at all.
Let's assume that's my first. Okay, before he did that, he went first of all. He had to go to him, and he goes to his father and begins to minister to him. You understand? Minister to him, talk to him. Let's assume that the father is saying. And talk to him, that listen, stop worshiping idols. These are consequences of doing this. You understand? Okay, and the father gives his life to God. Do you think that if he now wants that, with the agreement of his father, anything will happen to him? Who happened? You understand? Because they have, both of them are now walking in the authority of the word of God at the level they understood it. Okay? But that's what that didn't happen. Okay? This man didn't know the consequence of what the son was going to do. And as a matter of fact, he didn't even know that this was what happened until it happened. And he was really very close. But it was really going mad. And the thing really tormented him. At the end of the day, he died. I'm telling you something that didn't take quite a long time. Okay, so what we're saying is, you know, if we have the word of God, if we have the word of God, we can avoid such mistakes. You understand? Because we have help from God. But if we don't have the word of God, let us not be presumptuous. Let us assume that all out of sin are going to this because they have consequences. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Okay. So it would be nice, like Sister Ruth said, if the young man went and thought of the Jews. Okay. And let us say the man sent and then he breaks the box. He would even say by his own mouth, let us go on this.
You understand? I mean, nothing will happen if you do that. So most of the time, this are for the we will go out for saints and all that. We need to go and to go. There are set principles. The man needs to fight the Lord. He has to really bring his according to and get them stopped. Not that the man is not repent, but when you are doing that, like, you are putting the man in danger. Praise God.
Yes, yes. Good, yes.
I have to go to one of my colleagues who has a mental problem. So I don't know that deal without knowledge. So I was very angry with that kind of position and oppression that was taking place in the life of the person. So, because I believe that I have the Spirit of God inside of me, and that the way that people describe the heavenly places, so I, let me call it conducting a deliverance, so to say, fighting with the Spirit, tormenting that cause of mine. Then, as much as I know that she had a little relief at that time, she's not completely made well. I don't know what that has done to me. I don't feel anything, but I want to know whether that one is also a wrong mistake for a child of God to see a vision of yours, or even somebody who is brought into a place of worship with anger, with that kind of thing. Isn't it that of God who, you know, bound on and praise the Lord? What is my position? Is this wrong to me? Because I don't get comfortable when I see people like that being committed. I only go out to consulting God with that kind of fear, with planet to bounce on that kind of situation. But I know that that person has very great belief that my is coming, in fact, it's coming to my house, you know, if she has any objection, come and, you know, I have been thinking of maybe praying again, or praying more and praying again.
See, there's one man behind you now. Give him the microphone. Give that man.
Well, I'm
going to
say that anything wrong with what you have done. If I continue to heed that spirit,
amen.
You know, it's a spirit. We need to realize you heed in the morning, you heed in the evening. It's just like you have friends who are sick. A lot of brethren are sick. I don't sleep, I have to bring them before the Lord.
Amen.
And join the Spirit.
Amen.
So that's what I was saying. Let's not intimidate them, you know, by this Spirit. If I make mistakes, like what I said, there's a city of virtue. You come to the brethren and say, I did that. Especially when there are consequences, obvious consequences. You know, you think you're under oppression because of what you have done, you know, in the time. Get deliverance into the house of the Lord. Come to the Lord. Get deliverance. When I come to see, like I see a young man or a young woman who should be doing something, I see him or her walking ahead. I begin to join the Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
The bottom line is what we have said. That's the scripture. I think that scripture is in Psalm 91 that says, those that dwell in. In where? In the secret place
of the Most High.
But the emphasis is in. In is a preposition that defines a definite or a fixed place. Where are you? That's what is important. You are bringing judgment against the Spirit.
Where are you?
Where are you? What's your position?
Are you submitting to that Spirit?
Do you understand? So when you find yourself in Christ, you can bring judgment against the Spirit. But when you are just angry, you are like you said, we are neither here nor there. You bring judgment against the Spirit. They come against you. So we need to define our position. Where we are. I think that the substance of this let's define our position in God. When we define our position in God, we're not going to walk in God's way. It's the Spirit of the Lord that leads us, that will give us the grace
to begin to come against the practices and powers. We have to judge the things that have kept us balanced, even in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
As I was talking, something came to me. Now, the other thing is the spirit of accusation. Now, if I have made an error in the past and I have brought it up and prayer has been made, move on. You understand what I'm saying? Because the devil can keep you going round and round and round. I was talking to a brother. He was telling me he made an error 10 years ago. I said, brother, that is 10 years ago now. Where are you today? Do you understand? So many of us fall into that, because each time the word comes, you go back, the devil says, hey, you gotta sit down with the devil. You start discussing 10 years. Amen. So when you have dealt with it, you brought it to God, you've dealt with it, move on. Amen. Move on. Paul says, putting behind the things that are behind and pressing on. So we must be able to draw the line where there is an accusation and where there is a true conviction of the Spirit. Where there is a conviction by the Spirit of God, you will see it brings life. And when you deal with it, you see that you're released. But we must also differentiate from accusation, because the devil will come to accuse you, you know, because he's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. We must draw the line. Draw your eyes.
You can have an opportunity to appear with the matter in the name of the Lord. Afterwards, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And President Robert, I'm not going to wait for you. I can't have the benefit. But I can tell you about praying.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was in a church somewhere. A young man came in with a hat. I broke all the protocols. I went to him and said, remove that hat now. He removed it. I went and sat down. I rebuked him and went and sat down. He got annoyed. I didn't look at him. At the end of the service, God brought a word and he was delivered. Say amen now. I was a new person there, but he was wearing a hat. In the church, young man, Jesus of Nazareth. My spirit just revolted. I went and said, now, remove, I rebuke. Remove it now. Remove it. I went and said, the mother was there. I didn't take permission. I said, now, remove it. I went and said, do you understand what I'm saying? Because there was something that was moved in me. I just couldn't contain it. I went and I did it. And it brought deliverance to the boy. Amen. But I won't do it every day. I won't say, God, do it every day. I'll just give you an example. So we're not saying before you have to write an application to the brethren. Can I go and do this? Can I do this? It depends on where you are in the spirit. You know, I learned very early to say we rebuke you in Jesus' name. That call covers you. You're not to be do for we now. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. Who is we? The body of Christ. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Sister, you go. No, sister. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the prayer to pray. Remove I, leave I alone. I say, we bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you will see it will move faster. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. I think we've had a nice discussion. So I can hand over now very quite successfully. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?